Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 12th of October. Nancy Pearl, our extraordinary librarian, will be joining us in just one moment, and Nancy will be giving book selections. She's currently working on a book that will be out early next year on armchair travel. But Nancy is this extraordinary librarian who remembers, I kid you, who reads an extraordinary number of books, but remembers all the books she's ever read, and she can give you recommendations on anything for children, for adults, for people who like adventure, for people who like political stories, fiction or nonfiction. She's just great. And she'll be with us in just a moment to give book recommendations. Let me give you our on-air number so you can be in line to talk with her, 800-486-8655. And we are in our fall membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. We want to thank everybody. We did reach our goal last hour. We had 29 pledges, which is great. Thanks, everybody. So that's always good, particularly for an All Things Political Hour, which is one of my favorite hours of the whole week. UConn on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you, and we count actually on you to help keep these discussions on the air. If you can, and I know some of you will jump to the phone right now, make a gift of any amount and help us to pay for the programs you depend on. Give online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Schroeder, producer, is joining me now in our studios in Milwaukee. Hello again, Rob.
Good morning, Kathleen. We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $2,000. This generous challenge is offered by Michael and Renee Kramer. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today. So your pledge right now will be doubled. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just a moment, we will be speaking to Nancy Pearl, the most extraordinary librarian really in the country. And we have been blessed to have Nancy as a frequent guest on our program for a number of years since Book Lust came out, which I believe was in 2003. She's joined us about every 2 months for all of those years. And we're lucky we're able to attract people like Nancy. She loves doing this show. She loves you as an audience. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, this is one of those hours. It's not just an hour. This is an hour because we have a dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $2,000. So don't let that go to waste. That is something you can take care of by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today is one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time. Just give us your name, contact info, and how much you'd like to give and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. Your gift right now of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, will become the stories and programs that really you count on throughout the year here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you found yourself thinking about something in a new way after you've heard one of our shows. We certainly add to your body of knowledge, and we get a great understanding of how many people are thinking about certain issues. It's the beauty of the Ideas Network. You hear multiple points of view. You value what you hear on this public option radio station, and now pledge your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 in effect right now offered by Michael and Renee Kramer. So your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. You get the idea. And Wisconsin Public Radio gets more money to pay for programs like Clarence Page earlier and like the show you're going to hear right now. So please get your pledge match dollar-for-dollar right now. Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Please be as generous as you can.
Thanks so much, Rob. And thanks to all of you who have called in with your pledges. Nancy Pearl is joining us, and keep the number in mind for pledging. And also for book recommendations, our number for on-air on-air contributions, if you want book recommendations or you'd like to recommend a book, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. for you to join the conversation. Nancy Pearl is our guest. We love doing shows with Nancy. And she's working on actually a new book, which I believe is going to be out sometime in 2010. It's Book Lust to Go. Great title. It's filled with armchair travel and adventure books, novels set in foreign countries, all the history that they'll let her shoehorn in, the sort of book, that's what it is. And she says, I'm sure you get the picture, and we do. Nancy has done so much for the world of books. She is one incredibly voracious reader and has one of the most extraordinary memories of anybody I have ever met. She's an ideas woman. She started that program, If All Seattle Read the Same Book, which traveled all over the country and literally all over the world. And this has been said about her, and I think it's true. No one has done more lately to popularize books, authors, and reading than Nancy Pearl. She is from Seattle. She has this action figure model that stands near my desk, and she'll give you book recommendations. Doesn't get more valuable than that, right? She gives you recommendations, and they're always good. So we'll be welcoming phone calls for Nancy in just a few moments. Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
It's so nice to be with you again.
Ah, great to have you here. You're doing another book.
I am. It's so much fun. The reading is just spectacular. The writing, as always, is a little bit harder. But I love the title, Book Lust to Go. We were for a while going to call it Wanderlust, but then there are a couple other books called Wanderlust that are out there. And I think Book Lust to Go has just a great aura about it.
Mm-hmm. And you love these, don't you? For years, when I first interviewed you, you talk about armchair travel.
Yes, I love armchair travel, mostly because I think I don't do any.
But you travel. You've been all over.
I know, but it's mostly for work. I don't do anything that's strictly, although my husband and I have to say, are going on a real vacation of a bicycle and barge trip in Holland in April.
Oh, you are?
So we're going to see the tulips.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
That's great. And you've been to Australia?
Uh-huh, Australia, New Zealand, and Estonia. Not many people can say that, but we had a lovely time for National Library Week in Estonia 2 years ago, and I just loved. Because when you travel, when I get to travel, especially when I'm doing it with work for work as well, I get to meet readers and librarians,
sure.
And you can't do better than that.
Yeah, but it is work when you do it that way. You need to just go rest somewhere.
Right.
You in your picks, I think, or maybe this is one of the books that will be in your new book. I thought this was an interesting comment from you. I've discovered over my years of reading that voice is incredibly important to me. Whether the story is told in the voice of an omniscient narrator or in the first person, you need to be captivated by the voice.
Yes. And I think that's, I notice that more and more. And what's interesting to me is that it doesn't have to be a first person narrator. It could be that omniscient person looking over everybody's shoulder and knowing everything, but just the way they tell it is something that is what draws me in. It's not that I have to like the characters, particularly, I don't think, but I just have to hear their voice in my head. And that, I think, comes from my new blog that people might want to know about.
Sure.
Which is, I think I can give the email, the URL, because that's so much fun to do the writing for that. And the URL for that is nancypearlbooks.wordpress.com.
Say this again, Nancy. Nancy Pearl
Books. Then that's all one word. nancypearlbooks.wordpress.com.
.wordpress.
Right.
.com.
Yes.
And what do we find when we go there?
You find my book reviews.
Oh, Nancy. That's great. You know, I look for your book reviews, but I go to different sources for them. I go to NPR, and then I'll just Google your name and say, book reviews for September, Nancy Pearl. Oh, this is good. So it's all in one place.
It'll all be in one place. And you can leave comments for me, and I will comment back, and you can do all sorts of it. And the logo, I just have to say, was done by one of my former students. And a librarian, and it's just absolutely wonderful.
Great.
So Yeah, you'll love it, Kathleen.
All right. Well, good. Thanks. All right. So let's give just a, you know, a recommendation or two, because we have a shortened hour because of Pledge, okay. So we're going to go to phone calls. But
okay.
If you, whatever you want to do, armchair travel or whatever.
Okay. I think the three best books I've read this year.
There you go.
Okay. They're all comics, what we call graphic novels when we want to sound well-read. But they're comics. And one is called The Photographer by a kind of combination of three Frenchmen, but the main name is Emmanuel Guibert, who is a comic book writer, a graphic novelist in France, and it's the story of a young Frenchman. His first assignment, photojournalist, his first assignment in 1986 is to accompany a group of Doctors Without Borders to Afghanistan, and this is that story.
Oh.
And it's just the combination, what you get in the book are both the comics, the drawings, and then you get the pictures, the actual photos that he took, and juxtaposed. I mean, I haven't met anybody who hasn't just been bowled over by this book. So the second one is this other comic, is called Stitches, by David Small. And David Small, people are probably more familiar with him. He's a children's book illustrator, does a lot of his wife's books. His wife's name is Sarah Stewart. She wrote a book called The Librarian and other books, and he illustrates those. And that's about his, it's a memoir about growing up in Detroit. And it's the kind of book that will bring you to tears in the middle of it. And then I just discovered a wonderful graphic memoir by a woman named C. Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, and it's called You'll Never Know. And then this is book one, A Good and Decent Man. And it's about her father never talked about fighting in World War II.
Oh.
He refused. And then finally she got him to talk about it. And this is a book that is about all of those things. It's wonderful.
Oh, I'd like that one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just so, isn't that interesting? And then, I mean, Tracy Kidder's new book is just fabulous.
Is it good?
And there's a wonderful new novel by Nicholson Baker called The Anthologist, which is about a man who's trying to write an introduction to a poet who is trying to write an introduction to a poetry anthology that he's done. And he's a little bit blocked. But this is really a book about how wonderful poetry is and how poetry should rhyme. And he mentions in the book very approvingly two of the poets that nobody talks about anymore that I happen to love. So, of course, I was predisposed to like the book. But, again, the voice in that book is wonderful. Huh. Oh, there are so many good books out.
Oh, good. I'm reading. Oh, I wish you could have gone with us. We took I love Abraham Lincoln, and
yes.
We took a group of listeners to Springfield, Illinois last weekend. Oh, Nancy, it was so good. We had the best time.
Oh.
And then, and I've read a lot of Lincoln, but I'm rereading Gore Vidal's book on Lincoln, which is really good.
Oh, he,
I forgot how good it was.
Yes, he's so undervalued as a novelist, Gore Vidal is. I mean, his novel Burr,
yes,
both of those,
yes.
Burr and Lincoln, are two of the best historical novels.
I'll go to Burr next.
Oh, you've got to. And then this is not really Lincoln, but it's a little post-Civil War, a different part of the world, but of the country. But it's called The Color of Lightning,
okay.
By Paulette Giles, J-I-L-E-S.
Okay.
One of the best historical novels, kind of poetic historical fiction, like Cormac McCarthy does, but not quite the blood and gore you get in Cormac McCarthy.
Okay.
But the beautiful writing you get.
Good, good. Yeah, I think I'll go into that genre this year more.
Oh, there's so much good stuff.
There is. All right, Nancy, we got a lot of people who want to talk to you.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, Nancy is our first caller from Menasha. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. I'm a librarian as well, so I, of course, have to give you a middle school selection. A very good book, and I'm sure you know about it, is The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins.
Yes.
And then, because he's a local author, Michael Perry, his new one, Coop. And I think you actually had the pleasure of meeting him, because he's wonderful to meet in person, too.
I did meet Michael Perry, and you can actually watch the interview. I did an interview with him on my television show. Yes.
Oh.
Okay. So I just want you to spend The Hunger Games. I thought it was very different. It's maybe not for sixth graders, but boy, it gets you going. Once you start reading it, you don't stop.
Oh, The Hunger Games is fabulous. It was it's certainly one of my favorite books, one of the best books of last year. One,
I agree.
You know, and then the sequel. Have you read the sequel yet?
I just read The Hunger Games on Friday. I started the sequel on Saturday.
Yes, so right. Catching Fire, I think it's called. Oh, my gosh. Kathleen, I wish your son were just, I think he's maybe a little, he's not too old for it, but I don't know if he would pick it up, you know, but it's one of the best books for teens.
Talk about it. What is it?
It's a kind of dystopian post-apocalyptic story of the United States has been broken up into various regions, and the regions tried to rebel against their leaders, and they were put down very, very severely. But to show that they still owe homage to their leaders, every year from every one of these 12 regions, two kids from the age of 8 to 16, I think, are picked at random to go fight in the ultimate reality game, the Hunger Games, and they fight to the death. Only one of those children will come back alive. And Katniss, who is the main character, young woman in this book, takes her younger sister's place because she knows that her younger sister will never survive. And, oh, my gosh, I mean, everybody, this is another one of those books, adults, children, and it's a great book for an adult book discussion because, you know, you're reading it and you don't, I mean, it's so well told that it takes, and then you kind of come to your senses and you say, wait, these are kids killing kids. It's amazing. And then she's kept up the same high level in the sequel, and the third one I think will be out next year. Now, I have a middle school one for you, Nancy.
Okay, great.
Which is just wonderful, called When You Reach Me.
When You Reach Me. Who's the author?
Mead, M-E-A-D. And
okay.
This is the kind of book that it's a kind of homage to Madeleine L'Engle's A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh.
And it's one of those books that the more you talk about, the more you see how cleverly the author has written it. And I had the experience of finishing it and then immediately going back and starting it again because I wanted to see all those clues. And I wrote that in one of my book reviews, and somebody emailed me. I guess you can see this on the blog, that somebody emailed me and said, I had to laugh because I had exactly the same experience.
Oh, that's right.
And it's great to read out loud to your kids.
Great. I will check it out. Thanks for the recommendation.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy,
Take
for
care.
The call. Richard is next from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'd like to make a recommendation for the novels of an author whose name is Frank Tallis, T-A-L-L-I-S. He is his profession is psychiatry. He lives in London, but he's Viennese. He has written several novels. The locale is Vienna at the turn of the century, and they're mystery novels. They involve the cooperation between a police detective and a doctor who is both a student and associate of Sigmund Freud, and the evocative writing of the locale and the nature of the city and the conditions that are building toward the First World War are just wonderful. As a matter of fact, you can use his novels to visit many of the historical places that are still available. Most recently, last year, I stayed in a hotel where the ultimatum from Franz Josef to the Serbians, which, of course, was drafted in a way that the Serbians could not accept, was the precursor of the First World War.
Wow. Yeah, his books are... I think the thing about his books is they're a special kind of historical mystery. You know, I don't like to label things as genres because I think that narrows them too much, and then you get somebody who will think, oh, I don't like mysteries. But I do like historical novels, for example. But they might not pick up those books by Frank Tallis. But the writers who can do historical mysteries do such a wonderful job of bringing the past to life. I think that to do it in a mystery is to kind of add another challenge to yourself, because you have to have the mysteries solved in a way that isn't anachronistic. You can't have DNA being the solution to some murder when they're set in the 1920s or before the First World War, for example.
Nancy Pearl is our guest, librarian extraordinaire, and we're talking books this hour. Our number for on air is 800-486-8655, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy Pearl is our guest, and our next caller is Nancy. We have all these Nancys. There's Nancy on hold, too, when we've already talked to a Nancy. This is something. Nancy from Hubertus. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy.
We have kids that are 7 and 8, and they just love that reading that we do before we go to bed. And they seem to love books about kind of the simpler times. We've read Charlotte's Web and Because of Winn-Dixie this summer, and we just finished a really delightful book called Love from Your Friend Hannah, which was a book of letters back and forth. But I wonder if you have any more recommendations sort of that.
Well,
simpler time that the kids would like.
Have you read, I'm sure you have, the Little House books by Laura Ingalls Wilder?
No, I haven't started those yet.
Okay, those would be just wonderful, partly because they grow up with the girl, with the children, you know, and I know a 7-year-old who just cannot put those, just sort of raced through all of them because she loved them so much, and she kept saying, what would it be like to have lived when Laura lived? And people, because it became a television show called Little House on the Prairie, people sometimes think that's the first book, but it's not. It's Little House in the Big Woods, which is the first book, which is set in Pepin, Wisconsin. So those would be a good one too. Let's see.
What's the one your granddaughter recommended that you get and you jumped right out and bought it?
Oh yeah, what was it?
Do you remember? I'll give you a minute to think about it. Yeah.
Okay. Another one is Sydney Taylor's book, All of a Kind Family. Okay. That would be a really good one, too. And the other ones, another older books, but we can't forget them because they're so wonderful, and they are of a simpler time, are the Beverly Cleary. You know, I would start with the Henry Huggins. Henry Huggins was the very first one. And then all of the Henry Huggins books, and then there's the Beezes and Ramona, and then there's all the books she wrote about Ramona herself.
Okay.
So those should give you a few months' worth of reading out loud.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much.
Here we go. Gooseberry Park. Is it?
Oh, Gooseberry Park. Oh, yes, that's a great book. That would be a great book for that Nancy's children to sort of start reading to themselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good book.
And I love that you start when your 6 going on 7-year-old granddaughter tells you of all people, Nancy, that you have to read a particular book because it's her favorite, and she's shocked that you don't know about it, Nancy Pearl. You run out and get it.
And plus that, the author of Gooseberry Park, I think, is a Washington author now, so that was doubly surprising. Shocking.
How could Nancy not have read that? This woman has read more books than anybody I know or you'll ever know, or, you know, 50 of us combined. And she remembers all of them, which is wonderful. She's our guest today and joins us frequently for book recommendations. Nancy Pearl, our on-air number is 800-486-8655. This is also our Wisconsin Public Radio fall membership drive. I know you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio, and here you are listening to the Ideas Network for intelligent discussions, and we rely on the money that you give us to keep that talk on the air. Your gift today of whatever, $50, $60, $120, or any amount, and we're serious, any amount, will help keep this important forum for discussion on the air in the coming months. Give online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. Rob Schroeder joining us again here in our studios in Milwaukee, producer of the program, along with Rhonda. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Kathleen. We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $2,000. This generous challenge is offered by Michael and Renee Kramer. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today. So your pledge right now will be doubled. So please give now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear from the person who wrote the book, and Nancy can fall into two categories. She wrote the books. She reads all the books. People who have had unique expertise. We're glad to seek these people out and get them on the show. It's a privilege to have them, and many of them think it's a privilege to be here as well. We need your help to make that happen, and here's how you help. Pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know there are many reasons why Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors, Kathleen. One of the main reasons is they just want to make a difference. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and to help your local community. Your new membership today not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives other people in your neighborhood the chance to discover WPR. So please make that difference right now. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is here for your source for intellectual conversation. We laugh together. We learn history together. We respond to the news together every day. Your donation helps us keep relevant in our world that is changing. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've had 19 of you call in this hour, which is marvelous. Call for Nancy. Nancy is, what a treasure Nancy Pearl is. She's just a treasure.
And once again, Kathleen, we have that dollar-for-dollar match this hour up to $2,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to call. Every dollar that you donate will be matched by Michael and Renee Kramer. It's their way of encouraging you to support this program, so please support us right now, giving at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we should remind you of that again, that if we make $2,000, those listeners have kindly agreed to give us another $2,000, so... Well, even I can figure out that's $4,000. That's a pretty good deal. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much to everybody who's donated already. Thank you, Rob, very much for all your contributions to the show as well. Nancy Pearl is here. We are talking books. And on air for you to join us, it's 800-486-8655. We've had three Nancys call in a row. I can't believe this. Here's another Nancy from Milwaukee. Hello, Nancy.
Hello. We are a triumvirate of Nancys. I have always been fascinated by the famous Collier brothers who died in New York many decades ago. And about 40 years ago, I read a wonderful fictionalized novel called My Brother's Keeper, written by Marcia Davenport. And I was always just so enamored of that book. And a few weeks ago, I saw on C-SPAN 2, E.L. Doctorow, who brought out also a new book about that same set of brothers. So I got both of them out of the library because I wanted to contrast them. And I have to say that Doctorow's book pales in comparison to that book of at least 40 years ago, which had wonderfully delineated characters, wonderful plot construction. Everything about it was superb. I can't believe that Doctorow's book is so limp and so transparent and so nothing in comparison. So I would encourage other people to look for these same two books. I would certainly like to know some other person's opinions and if they coincide possibly with mine.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And one of the authors that people still talk about, and it's kind of a wonder to me why her books have not ever been reprinted, is Marcia Davenport, who wrote several historical biographies, fictionalized biographies. Did you read the other ones, too, by her?
Not that I recall. I don't really remember if I ever did or not, but this one, and I think I was so enamored of this book because I'm a pack rat myself, and, of course, this book, as well as Dr. Oates, try to explain why the Collier brothers ended up dying and living, for that matter, the way they did. I just have never read two books about the same topic that were so divergent as those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Monica Davenport is, though, one of those writers. You might want to go and see what else they have by her at the library.
Thank you, Nancy, so much for your call. We need to talk about, just for a moment, my son is reading, except he usually eats his books up and reads them in a couple days. It's been sitting on the dining room table for a while now after 50 pages or so read. Dan Brown's new book. A lot of people are reading it, Nancy.
Yes, they are. And, you know, I in a way I feel like I don't have to, if everybody's reading it, then I don't have to read it.
Right.
Because I always feel like my niche is, my niche is the kind of books that people are not necessarily going to find on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt that, and that's why I very rarely will review or talk about a best-selling book.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem worth it to me. I'd rather talk about, like, that Marcia Davenport
sure.
book that our previous Nancy talked about, or books, I think, that cross genres in a way that that I think are helpful in expanding the world of books that we're involved in.
I like that answer. Let's go to Gus next from Madison. Hi, Gus.
Good morning.
Hi.
My wife and I have been members of a book group for 29 years and are still occasionally referred to as the new people. We're always looking for good, discussable books for a group situation, and I wondered if Nancy had any book group selections to suggest, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, there are very, very many, and many of them you've probably done, but I will say them for maybe there are groups who haven't, especially when you're talking, there's a lot of good nonfiction out, of course, and a lot of good nonfiction in paperback. The Looming Tower by Lawrence Wright is just a wonderful, terrific history of the events leading up to September 11th, 2001. Steve Kahl's book, not the new one, which is a biography of the Bin Laden family, which is also interesting, but the one before that, I thought, it's called Ghost Wars, is another really good one. For fiction, almost any of the books by Wallace Stegner, especially Angle of Repose, would be a very good one. Tim O'Brien's book, The Things They Carried, or In the Lake of the Woods, I think are especially especially wonderful. In the Lake of the Woods, I mean, for me, when you're in a book discussion group, what you want is books in which, if you're talking about fiction, books in which the main character has to make a decision that you respond to kind of viscerally, agreeing or not agreeing, or that the ending is somewhat ambiguous. And I think that In the Lake of the Woods is that way. Another great one is Ward Just's book, A Dangerous Friend. And I often think that with that book, well, I know in the group that I was in when we discussed A Dangerous Friend, I just started out by saying, what does the title mean? What's the significance of the title? And we never got off on any other question at all because the title is so rich. And in talking about what the title of that book means, you really get everything about the book in that discussion. So there are some good ones.
Thank you guys so much for your call. Gloria from Madison, hi.
Hi. By the way, my middle name is Nancy.
No.
I'm looking for a recommendation. I have my more significant reading, but I have light reading that I enjoy, and it's mysteries that are sort of more about the people and the place.
Oh, Gloria, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I am so happy you said that because I have just the books for you.
Oh, well, I was just going to say the ones that I have read, the series I've kind of been through are the Cat Who books.
Right.
And the Agatha Raisin books.
Right.
So I'm looking for a new series. So good. Tell me what you're...
Okay. Now, the Agatha Raisin books are kind of humorous. Do you have to have humor?
No, but, doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. Okay. So have you read the Hamish Macbeth book?
I have read a few of those.
Okay. So there are all those, also by M.C. Beaton.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, but when you said you like books in which the emphasis is on the character rather than necessary, I mean, that the plot is always there, but it's the characters you really enjoy visiting and revisiting, I have just become addicted to to The Mysteries by a woman named Jane Haddam, H-A-D-D-A-M.
Okay.
She has written about 25 mysteries, all featuring the same Armenian-American detective named Gregor Demarkian. And they're all set in Philadelphia. He's a retired FBI agent who gets called in to consult. He's not a private eye or anything like that. But they're all set. His home base is this sort of Armenian-American enclave in Philadelphia and all the various people who live there. It's just, for some reason, for me in these books, I read the newest one, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and then realized I had read the very first one called Not a Creature Was Stirring, 25 years ago or so, but never read anything in between, so I had to scurry around to find all the in-between ones. And she is an author who is, I think, much more interested in exploring her characters than necessarily the plot, somewhat like P.D. James, who is not humorous at all. That's not her intent. Or Elizabeth George. Have you read those, either of those series?
I've read a little P.D. James. I'm, kind of okay, but...
Yeah, right. Just a little bit. You really have to be in an intense kind of mood, I think, for P.D. James.
Right.
Elizabeth George is a little bit less than that. They're not as light. I mean, they're not light at all. Again, that isn't her intent. But the Jane Haddam books are maybe not as light as the Agatha Raisin books, but they're not as intense is the only word I can think of as the P.D. James or the Elizabeth George. But what you're talking about really is a whole group of mysteries that we call cozies.
Okay.
We, the library, literary world, I guess, calls cozies. And I bet if you went to your local library and asked them, or you could sit down at your computer and Google cozy mystery novels.
Oh, okay, great.
And see what comes up. In my books, I think in Booklust or More Booklust, I did a whole series of cozy mysteries.
Well, great. Sounds wonderful.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Nancy Pearl, our guest, our number, 800-486-8655. One line is open. We are talking books on the Ideas Network. More phone calls for Nancy. We go to Randy from Madison. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. Some good selections, but way too many textbooks. So I wanted to recommend, for one thing, No Country for Old Men, Cormac McCarthy. Whether you've seen the movie or not, I read the book 4 years ago. It's still the best book I've read in that whole period. It's just got a voice that's amazing. And the Travis McGee series by John D. MacDonald, I think every generation should rediscover that. Plus, any number of John D. MacDonald's non-series books. He's got one called The Only Girl in the Game about Las Vegas that was written in 1960, says just about everything there is to say about Las Vegas.
Great. I would agree. I think that in our society, this has certainly been one of the things that has motivated my own reading and my own writing and discussion, talking about books, is that we forget that there are some fabulous books that were written 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. And the Travis McGee series is... Periodically, I go back and have to find them all at used bookstores because they're no longer in print. I would love to see all of his books brought back into print. Hmm. And the only game in town. I can't remember the Las Vegas one.
Girl in the Game.
Yeah, The Only Girl in the Game. Yeah, absolutely. And Travis, and we don't take light. We don't give enough credit, I think, to mysteries. To anything that isn't literary fiction. They get a kind of short shrift in a way. We read them, but we don't take them seriously. And I think, and they're certainly never up for the big awards, the big literary awards. And I think that a writer like John D. MacDonald, I think that giving pleasure to readers is a really important thing that a writer can do.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call, Randy. We go to Alice from Sheboygan. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I do have a cousin named Nancy. Is that how you get in the club? I just had two recommendations. I love mystery, but I love London more. So Anne Terry.
Oh, yes.
And her monk series.
Yes, right.
I just love that. I love that period. I love the description of London, even though it's very dirty. I love that. And for children, a preteen 12-year-old, I read all I could get my hands on of Betsy Byers.
Uh-huh.
A Night Fox.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She just hits subjects, especially children who don't have ideal situations in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found her wonderful.
And you know, we should, both of those writers, I think, are just do what they do so remarkably well. And the Anne Perry. Both the William Monk and her other series, the Thomas Pitt series, mm-hmm. are just wonderful evocations of Victorian London. And remember when the previous caller said that the only girl in the game is all you ever need to know about Las Vegas? Well, much of all you really need to know about Victorian London you can get from the Anne Perry novels.
Hmm.
Yes.
And there's a wonderful historical series. I was just going to say there's a wonderful historical series that I also just discovered this year by a guy named C.J. Sansom, S-A-N-S-O-M, and they are set during the last years of the reign of Henry VIII. So if you have any desire to go back a little further in British history, these are just great portraits of that time period and the people who were involved in Henry's world. The most recent one is called Revelation, and it's set during a time when Henry is wooing Catherine Parr, who will be the only wife who survives him. And the main character is a lawyer at that time. But all the big names are there. All of the stuff about the religious split between the Catholics and the Protestants. I mean, it's just all right there. And so he's another very good historical novel writer, historical mystery writer.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So, Nancy, why do you think we had all these Nancys call in? This was so unusual.
Because I don't meet too many Nancys.
I don't either.
And I'm just thrilled.
I'll bet you are. It's okay. Not only Nancys who are Nancy, but family members or friends named Nancy.
And readers. Right.
Oh, give us again that new, which is very valuable to have all of your recommendations in one place.
Okay. Nancy Pearl Books, one word.
Okay.
.wordpress, one word.
Okay.
.com.
All right. Nancy Pearl Books.wordpress.com.
Yep.
Thank you, Nancy. What's your middle name?
Oh, my middle name is my mother's maiden name, which is Bates.
Bates?
Yeah, B-A-T-E-S.
Oh, that's good.
Shortened at Ellis Island.
Oh.
I'm sure.
Okay, well, we may have to distinguish you now from all the other Nancys. Thank you, Nancy. Always a great pleasure to have you on.
Oh, it's always just the most fun, Kathleen.
Thanks,
Thank you
Nancy.
So much.
Yeah, our great pleasure. And we'll look forward to, she's doing a new book right now on armchair travel. That'll be a dandy. As soon as it comes out, we'll be very happy to talk to her about that. We are in our fall pledge drive. This is Wisconsin Public Radio, as you know, and our goal is to keep bringing you discussions with people like Nancy. It's not just a one-time conversation we've had with her. We've been interviewing Nancy since 2003 when her first book, Book Lust, came out, and she loves doing this program. She's given us so many suggestions over so many years of great books to read. And we do these kinds of conversations with listener contributions, which is WPR's most important source of income. Any amount you can give right now will make a huge difference as we raise the money needed to pay for these discussions that you rely on. Securely online at WPR.org or call toll free at 888-202-2552. Rob Schroeder joining me again in our studios here in Milwaukee. Rob helps produce many of these programs. Hello to you, Rob.
Hello, Kathleen. You know, you mentioned how much we love having Nancy on, and I can tell how much our listeners love it, too, answering the phone calls and seeing the phones ring for the full hour. People calling in, they love talking about books. And, you know, programs like that, they're brought to us by our listeners, and we have a generous dollar-for-dollar match right now, up to $2,000. This challenge is offered by Michael and Renee Kramer. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today. So your pledge right now will be doubled. Please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving is simple. Whether you give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, all we need is your name, your contact information, and how much you'd like to give. And how you want to pay. You can use a credit card if you can. It saves us time and money. And we don't share your personal information with any other organizations. Many people find that $10 a month is the right amount, which is about $120 for the year. But you decide how much it's going to be. And you can give now.
And listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, it's like a tuition-free lifelong education. All you need is a radio or a computer to tune in, but we need your support to make it happen. Please contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you can, consider a $1,000 contribution. It will help cover the costs that make fulfilling our mission to bring valuable programming to Wisconsin possible. Make your pledge now in any amount at WPR.org at 888-202-2552.
And please give online at WPR.org or again, 888-202-2552. Please help pay for the programs that you depend on. We have a goal of 75 pledges for this hour. We have about 5 minutes left to go. Thank you if you have already given at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You decide the amount of your pledge. And remember, when you give $120, ask for the WPR stainless steel water bottle. Please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because my radio is broke and it's the only station I can get. No, it's not true. I think it's probably the purest station in as far as handling both sides of an issue. I listen more to things that I agree with, but there are times when I hear things that I don't agree with, but I think, you know, he's got a point. I'm John Treader, Wisconsin Public Radio. It's my source of entertainment and information, and I really enjoy it, and I'm thankful it's there.
Oh, that's nice, John. That was nice. It was really nice. John's one of our phone answers. Is you listen to this show, you know he's been doing that for years. Thank you, John. All right, so if you want to say not only thank you, but we need your support to keep rolling here, then make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support to WPR. It might be $50, $100, or $500. Seriously, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rob Schroeder is here, and we are asking for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio.
The best way to support this intelligent source of news and information is by donating at WPR.org. Put your contribution to work right away by making your pledge with your credit card. It takes just a moment of your time, and you'll be investing in a service that keeps you informed every single day. Your contribution in any amount provides essential support to Wisconsin Public Radio, so please go to WPR.org right now or call 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time. Give us your name, your contact information, and how much you'd like to give, how you would like to pay, whether you call or pledge online. We will keep all of your information extremely confidential. Your gift of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, will become the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Keep giving. Give now if you haven't ever. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 75 pledges for this hour, and we have 3 minutes to go in this hour. The success of this fund drive, it depends on you. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, please consider giving now online at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. You decide the amount of the pledge, and when you give $120, ask for the WPR stainless steel water bottle. Please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if I could ask you this question, how often you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio? You may listen every day on your way to and from work. You listen on the weekends. You listen while you're at home. Think about the amount of time you spend with us. And then I'm sure many of you will say it's an important part of your life. Your day would be different if you couldn't count on your favorite program. If it would, and I know it would, make a contribution to keep the service going online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you donated to WPR a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part, but you enjoy the service year after year. We need your continued support to keep this organization strong. Has it been a while since you donated? Then rejoin now online at WPR.org or toll-free by phone 888-202-2552. We'll be glad to have you back in the family.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge. Nancy's going to be with us again. You can count on that. She's been with us for how many years ago was that we started? 2003. It was a long time ago. So pledge for what you've heard and what you will hear. Thank you, Rob, so much. Rob Schroeder, our producer and pledge partner here. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour. And thanks to Lisa Nalbandian for her help. And thanks for all of you pledges. Thanks to all of you Nancys who called in. Nancy, 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 Nancy. We had tons of them. And we did make our goal, everybody. Thank you so much. So we got an extra $2,000.